my goodness. Thank you. Thank you for your greeting. How many of you were here the last time I was here? Back, I think it was December. Today's message is absolutely completely different. All right? Okay. Very, very different. If you weren't here, get the CD. That's all I'll say. But I want to thank you for your great hospitality. I know that training can be well done, but you have to be trainable, you know? You have to have a servant's heart and want to respond to what God is doing in His people. And I can tell you, you folks have been wonderful in your gift of hospitality toward me. Matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that when I arrived yesterday afternoon at the Hilton and was staying overnight there, you know, there was a bag, or a basket rather, of things in my room. I think probably Marilyn puts that together. I'm not sure who does that. Maybe someone else does. But, you know, there's fruit and some drinks. And there were these, I don't know if you've ever had these, there were these graham crackers covered in dark chocolate. You know, it's like, it's the kind of thing you eat half of and wait a little later. You know, you savor it. So that whole package is going to last me weeks. You know, I'm just going to, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, you know. So I'll be remembering you for a while. But I must tell you this, too, that following that last evening, Mike and Mary Brewer, they took me out for dinner, and I just spilled over on them. I don't know if it was maybe the caffeine. I drank some coffee on the way down yesterday. It was like wound me up and, it started. And we had a great time together. I just want to thank you folks publicly again. I just had a wonderful, wonderful time. It was great. And I will warn you of this, though. You know, if you feed a dog from the neighborhood, it will come back again and again and again to your doorstep. So be careful with this, all right? I could wind up be back here a lot. I use my probably two-thirds of my voice in the first service for, you know, who knows how long this message will be. I don't know. I tried to rest my voice a little and my legs by sitting during the worship, but I know how that works. I had an experience a little different than the time before, and certainly God speaks to the person who's going to have the responsibility of speaking a little differently each time. So I had this experience that last time when I came to speak, it was like I hung up the phone when Lanny was on the phone. And by the way, I mean no disrespect by calling him by the first name. He calls me by my first name. So, Lanny, if you're listening to this CD, there you go. You know, but we've been friends for a very, very long time. And he has ministered into my spirit and my just life for many, many years. And he's a wonderful, wonderful friend. So, I mean no disrespect by calling him by his first name. He is a phenomenal pastor, and I will tell you this. You know, the message that he has been speaking, had spoken to you for a number of months on the five commissions. I have listened to every CD except, I think, either the last one or two of those. So I'm as informed about that probably as you are, because I so respect his teaching ministry. When I am doing other work, I have put that on my computer, then onto my iPod, and I listen. So, I've tried to stay up to date with where he and where the Lord has been speaking through him to you. The other day when I got the call, about a month ago or so, when he called, it was a little different than the other time, because what happened is when I hung the phone up, within that hour, I sort of was listening. Lord, okay, what are you going to say? You know, what are we going to do when we're back there again with those folks at Prague? And I received this illustration just like that. And that was kind of it. And then, you know, the days and the weeks went on, and I kept listening and made some notes and thoughts here and there, you know, but nothing really came together. It didn't become solidified. And then all of a sudden, just very recently, it was like I had a straw and he had a fire hose, you know, the Lord. It just went, you know, and it was like I couldn't get it fast enough. I was making notes and listening, and, you know, it's like, do you want me to say all of that, you know, kind of thing. So If I said it all, we'd probably be here sometime till Tuesday afternoon at least. But he's edited it down. In fact, since the first service, you'll be happy to know that. You know, so I do trust this about him. The notes may be the same because they're on paper, but his word is different because there's different people here. This service isn't the same as the first service, so it won't be identical because it shouldn't be identical. It may have the same body in the message, but God's going to speak to you. In fact, one of the things that I know that the Lord said for me to say to you was simply this, important enough for me to write it down, so I said it exactly as he said it to me. What you hear today can change your life or the life of someone you know. Just before we pray, I want to just greet some, I started to say old friends, but that wouldn't be right, would it? Although we're older. But I have some great friends that I've known for many, many years from Evangel Assembly, where I served as an associate pastor for six, almost 7 years. And it's great to have Chip and Doris Hutton and your mom. I didn't realize your mom was with you. Great. That's wonderful. And you guys, you bring the whole family. And if you're not careful, you just have the whole row over there, you know. So, and I want to tell, you know what, can I just tell what's happened in your life recently? Do you know, Chip had surgery, how long ago now? Thanksgiving. He was told following surgery he would never walk again. Lord started doing some things. He went back. They told him, you'll be able to walk, but you'll have to have a walker. And you'll never be able to drive a car, you know. Then the next time he went back, I think it was, if I'm getting a progression right here, don't correct me if I'm wrong, it would look bad, you know what I mean? But the progression of the next time was you would walk but with a cane. And would I be right in saying you just drove to and back from Myrtle Beach, is that right? Why don't you stand and let's just praise the Lord for this gift of healing that God has done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What you hear today can change your life or the life of someone you know. Let's pray. Father, you're going to speak into our lives today. We may be here as a group, and I may be speaking to the group. And you may have given me a message to say to this people as a group. But Lord, you have that wonderful ability to take that which is being said and you pinpoint it. You focus it right on each one of us. Just as one particular man said at the end of last service, he said, "This message was for me." Of course it was. Because you designed it for him. Every person in this room, including me, we are all listeners. So let us hear what you have to say to us today. Even as your word says, let the church hear what the Spirit has to say to her. Or that we might hear what you have to say to us today. So our lives can be changed and the lives of those around us. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen. Years ago, while I was attending Lee College, which is now Lee University, and I think, matter of fact, I mentioned my daughter Carrington the last time I was here. She was about to graduate from Lee University. Well, she's now graduated. But what's interesting is that her grandmother also attended the same school back when it was the Bible Training School, BTS. So it went from BTS to Lee College to now Lee University. So there's a lineage that's happened there with her grandmother, then me, then Carrington. But while I was at Lee, I was in a class. In fact, I was in many classes. Some I'd like to forget, others I'm glad I remember. But I was in a class with Dr. French Arrington. And Dr. Arrington taught, one of the classes he taught was systematic theology. And systematic theology basically is this, an understanding or having a knowledge of God. How do you study who God is? And you do that systematically. Hence the title, Systematic Studies. Well, I remember two things out of that class. I spent a whole semester there, but I remember two things. And I even paid money for just those two things. One of them, or I'm going to tell you both of them. One of them is this. If I had a line of men standing up here, and let's say they had on swimming trunks, we'll put it that way, okay? So from their waist up, they were bare. How could you tell which one of those men was Adam? Clock is ticking, da, 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 da. Ha! You got it! He has one or he doesn't? Adam doesn't have a belly button. The only one out of the whole group, the only one out of the whole room, doesn't have a belly button because he wasn't born. He was created. Okay, so I paid good money for that. But it stuck with me for all these years, and now you have it, and you can use it at any time. You don't have to footnote it. You don't have to say, I recently heard. You can just say, guess what, and ask the question. Stump them at work or wherever. All right, next thing is that the nature, the character of God is this. I'll never forget, he's standing in front of this group of probably somewhere 60, 80, maybe even 100 young people looking straight at Dr. Arrington. He looks with passion, actually, this sense of conviction, and he says to us, this is who God is. There is one thing God is among all the other things he is. God is holy. And then he just let it sit on us for a second. He didn't go into great explanation, but I can tell you this. That God is holy. In the Hebrew, it's the word hagios. It is this word that means he is pure, unblemished, without spot. He is absolutely appropriate at the appropriate moment. There is nothing in him of any guile whatsoever. He is absolutely, completely, and totally, undeniably holy. But interesting, this word holy, is it has other meanings more than just those that I just gave you. It's actually a connecting word. But before we go there, go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Now, this particular passage is a passage that, in my studies over the years, I love the book of Revelation. In fact, there's a part in the Revelation that's a little bit further on where it just astonishes me. And while you're turning to Revelation chapter 4, we're going to begin with the first verse. It astonishes me because this one passage, it says that God, in all of his heavens and the glory and the angels and the singing and all of the praising, all that we're going to read about in just a moment, all of it stops for a half an hour when the revelation is opened and revealed. Oh, man, that's good. You know, it just, everything stops. All of heaven is quiet. But let's go back just a little to chapter 4 and let's begin to read at verse 1. Some things have happened already, the letters to the churches, and then this is said. After this I looked, John is saying, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I heard first, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat on it there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, representing the church, by the way. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God, or how God reveals himself. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox. The third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You have created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." Now, over the years, I've looked at certainly the whole book of Revelation, having read it many times, but this particular passage with these particular creatures have always sort of puzzled me. What's happened is I look at this and think, you know, first of all, they're strange-looking creatures. You know, they have different kinds of heads, and they've got six wings, and, you know, eyes front and back, and under the wings and behind the wings, and there are these eyes. I mean, this is one or four really weird-looking creatures. But have you watched the Discovery Channel recently? I mean, there's some weird stuff on this planet. Can you not say amen to that? I mean, come on, look at just the simple, you know, simple creatures that one eye can look this way, another eye can look that way. And, I mean, if you and I did that, we would get confused. They can do it. These creatures had eyes all around. Now, if you're here for the first time, maybe you haven't been in church for years or maybe never, and you hear the preacher start with a passage like this, this seems like weird stuff. Well, it is. It's weird stuff. That's why it sounds that way. But this is what's happening in heaven. And these creatures are absolutely crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, what puzzled me about this is, how could they do this all of the time? Because the "and was" says they've been doing it in the past. The "as is" says it right here, right today, while we're here. They're doing it right now. And "is to come" says they're going to be doing it throughout the future. Now, how could they keep doing this? Well, this takes me to the second understanding of the holy, holy, holy. Because the first understanding is clean and pure and without blemish, etc., etc. The second understanding is that it's a connecting word. It's kind of like this. If you and I were in conversation, I might say, "Timothy," right? I might say, "Timothy, blah, 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 and then, blah, 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 blah." So the "and then" connects the first thought with the second thought. Now, while I'm in conversation with Timothy, I thought about the first thought, and then while I was communicating it, I had a second thought. So I needed to connect the first with the second. That's what's happening here. Yes, they are crying, "Holy, holy, holy," but what's happening is they're seeing something. I was in a meeting some years ago. This just exploded in me. The speaker was speaking and said something about this passage, and all of a sudden I was gripped with this understanding that these creatures, they are facing God. And as they see Him, remember all the eyes, it's that they constantly see something different about Him. And each time they see a different facet of who He is, their expression is, "Wow! Oh, yes! Oh, and then? Oh, that too! Oh, my!" So four living creatures with all the eyes around, they're absolutely captured by who He is. Because when something is revealed, it leads to something that is revealed, it leads to something that is revealed, and they can never get enough of seeing Him being revealed. Now, He is not revealing Himself to them. They are just seeing Him. He's not intentionally saying, well, see this and see this and see this. No, they are designed. They are created. These are four living created creatures. Some say that the first creature, the one that's mentioned, that's a lion, it communicates the royalty of God, the kingship of who God is. Some would say it's all about identity. It's about who He is, and that His identity determines our identity as well. We are who we are because He is who He is. Secondly, the ox. The ox is a way of communicating His strength. And His strength communicated to us is that we can, remember what the New Testament says, those of you who know this, we can do all things, how? In Christ or through Christ, who does what? Strengthens us. Now this strength isn't just brute strength. It's the strength of an ox that's pulling a plow or doing work and perseveres through that thing that would tend to try to hold you back. So the first is royalty, kingship. The second is this persevering strength. The third is the face of a man. Now you and I might quickly say relationship. But I want to add a word to that, just to tweak it just a little so you'll hear it just a little bit differently. And that is connection. It's our connection with Him and His connection with us and our connection with each other. Now, finally, the fourth is an eagle's that's flying majestically above. I would submit to you that you could write perspective. That the perspective of God is not a lower level perspective here, but a higher exalted perspective that He brings to you and I because of who He is. So he imagine these four living creatures who in each one, and certainly much more, but at least in those four categories, imagine that each time they see something that's of the nature of one of those things that I just mentioned, you know, when you have something happen that you see the strength of God at work through you, it's like, praise the Lord, wow. And you know it's Him. It's like you see it. Your eye, your spiritual eyes, you see it, you connect to it. And then it's like when He knocks one domino over, it's like they, you know, spread. And you begin to see the impact of one against another, against another, against another. And like the living creatures, you're going, whoa, yes, wow. Oh, and then you've done that. You didn't realize you did it, but you've done it when you've given what we would call a testimony about the grace of God. Because what you do is you'll tell the initial thing that happened, and then you go, oh, and then later, and then, wow. What you're doing is the same thing that's given to us as an example, an illustration here in the living creatures. Yes, the wow. Now, every one of those things that happens, everything that's connected together, has in its character good, because He is what? Holy. Say it with me. Holy. Let's say it again. Holy. Let's say it with conviction. Holy. Now the Bible tells us that not only is that His character, that He is holy, but it says also that God is what? Love. God is love. John, there used to be a song, 1 John 4:7-8, ta-da, like almost a bubblegum song. It reminded me, when I was an early believer, it reminded me that God is love. Well, God is holy. The expression of that holiness is His love. You and I are here today. We are created because His holiness expressed itself in someone that would be loved. That's you and I. And then He sent His Son as the ultimate expression to die for us, so that we who may be disconnected from God then can be reconnected. Because of our sin, we became disconnected. We were born into it. But by choice, we can accept what Christ did on the cross for us. And we can be reconnected. Remember the word connected, not just relationship? So embodied in these four living creatures, and all the eyes are seeing who God is and what God is doing and how it continues to unfold. It's like dropping a stone in a pond and that one plop, but then the ripples just keep going and going and going and going out from there. Now today, one of the goals that I have in speaking to you is I want to start with kind of the large end of a funnel. And I want to start there, which is where we've been, and then I want to bring it down. So I want to focus at this moment on one word. That there's one thing, among many things, but one thing that's happening here in this picture that we see. Attention. Attention. Attention to God from the living creatures. Attention to God from the elders, which, remember, I said represent us, the church. So everything around is giving God attention. I have a question for you. Does God have your attention? Now, that's not meant to be critical in any way. If he does, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But he does right now. Yes? Okay. Does God have your attention? Now, the reason that's important is because if he has your attention, it's not that you are absolutely throughout the entire day, you know, you never give your attention to anything else, but you're totally focused on God and only God. You know, leave that to the creatures. That's what they do day and night. Okay? Remember what it said? It said that as they did that, when they did that, what was the response of the elders? Then the elders followed what the creatures did, and then they praised, right? So you and I cannot be employed all day, all night, doing what they're doing. But we can give God our attention. In a sense, we can have the door of our heart opened for Him to speak into our lives. Because He has our attention. Now, the first service I gave this illustration, it's kind of like, I don't want this to happen between me and God. I certainly don't want it to happen between you and God. You know, because God, if He wants to, He can get your attention. Can you say amen to that? He can. Yeah, it's like when I was a parent of small children, and fortunately they're grown now, and I don't need to do this because I have three, a 28-year-old going on 29. I told him he's old. Just giving him a hard time. But he does have gray. I wonder where you got that. That's enough. You don't have to confirm that or anything. At least he's not losing his yet, you know. But I have learned if I sleep a little further away from the headboard, that might stop that loss. The other one is 22, and she's married. And then Carrington, which I've already spoken, or I'm sorry, 26, and she's married. Carrington is 22. But when they were real little, I had to do this. You know, if God wants to get our attention, He can do it. Like a father gets the attention of a child. How do you know? I've had parents over the years ask me, how do you know when it's time to kind of discipline a child, to help them learn that they need to be self-disciplined? How do you bring correction and so forth? I said, it's really simple. You don't really have to know anything. All you have to do is pay attention. Okay? And the reason is this. Because the child does this. Let's say that guitar is right there, and there's a little child on the stage, and the child is going like this. Now, what's that child going to do? The child's headed for the guitar, and about here they go, Mommy and Daddy said, don't touch the guitar. So what do? They go, isn't that right? Moms and dads, don't they do that? You remember when they went, they reached for it, and at the same time they were checking. They went, What does that tell you? It tells you they know this is not right. So when could you discipline them? See, if they just do it unadulteratedly, they just go do it, they don't know any better. So they need instruction. Okay, so after a while, they keep doing it and keep doing it, even though they check, like, who cares if he's watching, you know? What do you do? You may or may not like this. They didn't like it either, but they got over it. Okay? They would reach, and I couldn't get their attention, maybe. I would say, don't do that. I wouldn't go, bam, don't you ever. I did that to the dog. But I don't. I didn't do that to them. I said, don't do that. Now, come back over here. What did Dad tell you? When we were standing here, what did Dad tell you? Not to go touch the guitar. Right. So when you walked over here and you turned around and looked back at me, you knew you weren't supposed to touch the guitar. They blush or they go, yeah. I don't want God to have to work with me like that. How about you? Okay? No, He has. But I don't want to be the child that needs that for Him to be able to get my attention. I want Him to be able to whisper and get my attention. I want Him to be able to give me a word, give me an illustration, give me a thought. And He's got me. Because I'm like, yes. Oh, yes. And then? I want to be engaged. Yeah, I'm going through my life, zigzagging through here and there. I want Him to be able to touch and speak and say what He needs to say and guide where He needs to guide me. He has a mission or a task for me to do. God talks to you all the time. He does. He does. Matter of fact, some of you think that the only people God talks to is His church or Christians. That's not true. Before you were a believer, before you accepted Christ, He spoke to you and drew you to Himself. A great example of this in Scripture is Abram. Abram was an absolute heathen. He became Abraham. He still had some trouble then. But isn't that like you and I? You know, but God spoke to Abram, and because Abram heard the voice of God, he went off knowing kind of what he was looking for, but didn't have a clue where he was going to find it. But he moved based on the thing that he had heard, the voice of God. Now, you and I, many of us, maybe not all of us in this room, have accepted Christ, and the Holy Spirit speaks and works with us, and we still have difficulty doing that. Don't shake your heads. I'm one among you. He speaks something, and we want Him to explain it. Because I'll feel better if He does. I'll feel more secure. I won't be afraid of rejection. I won't be afraid, period. At least that's what I think. There's a company that's their slogan is, just do it. Fortunately, the Lord doesn't go, just do it. You know, most of the time I already know I need to just do it. Give you an illustration of this. One day, I had not had the Lord work with me quite like this. But one day in a service, this was some years ago, I was on the platform, and the worship group was worshiping and leading worship and so forth, and I was just standing, and all of a sudden, I sensed the Lord say to me something that comes out of the book of Psalms. He leads me with His eye. Okay? That was nice. You know, have you ever had that happen? Some of you didn't. A thought comes. You have no clue what to do with it. So I didn't know what to do with it. So I kept kind of listening and saying, okay, that's good. They come back again. Okay, that's really nice, Lord. Okay, I hear it again. Okay, I could write it down now. I've got it. I know where it comes from. I could go look it up, et cetera, et cetera. But what I wasn't realizing is that while this was reverberating in me, I was looking at a congregation like this, and my eyes would go across here and there and then here and then there and then here and then there. And remember, He said He would lead me by my or His eye. So about third row in, center aisle, was a man sitting there. And I kept going back across the congregation, and then I'd look at this fellow. Back across the congregation, I'd look at this fellow. Again and again, bang. Bang. It was like I couldn't stop looking at this one man. Now, the thing was, is that guy, he was very inconsistent in his attendance. He wasn't there often, and he just happened to be there that day. Here I am, I remember, standing in about this position on the platform. All of a sudden, it was like the Lord went, I am showing you. And I happened to look, bam, just like that. Then I connected what I remembered from the Word. Remember the phrase, He leads me with His eye. Bam. And I looked at the guy. Then I went, okay, now what? So, okay, so he's sitting there. Now what? Now, some of you right now, you might be thinking, okay, yeah, that happens to you. You're on the platform, you're in the ministry, blah, blah, blah. Same stuff happens to you. Same stuff. I hear people all the time tell me, oh, the Lord this or the Lord that, or if they're comfortable with that. Other people just kind of start talking about things. They're not real sure what, you know, language to use, but they try to embody it in a way that they can communicate it to me. But that's what they're telling me. Stuff like this is happening to them. So I know it happens to you. Interestingly, when I asked the Lord about this particular message, I said, but Lord, that church already seems to have their ear to your heart. They, you know, there's a number of very prophetic kinds of people there. They hear you and hear you well. In fact, the last time I was here, I was standing right up here. There were a group of people gathered around me after the first service and the second service. This was in December. And out of that was said that day, and by the way, I have a CD and a tape of that day, of what was said. There are things that have already been fulfilled out of that day. One was a word about a car. My car. And the gist of it is this. I almost have it memorized, but the gist of it is this. That you like the car, or actually love the car that you're driving. Now, I'm not a car guy. Some of you really into cars. Actually, I used to sell cars. And I barely know what year my car is. And I am not exaggerating. I don't care. I don't care how much horsepower it has. I just want to push it and go, you know? I kind of care a little bit about maybe what color it is, but, you know, other than that, in fact, I worked at a Ford and Subaru dealership, and there was a guy when the 05 Fords came out, or the Mustangs rather, came out. This guy was telling me this story. He was standing there, and I could see his mouth moving. He's right here. I could see his mouth moving, and he was telling me about this. Literally, he used these words, stable of Mustangs. He owned 10 Mustangs. You know why he was talking to me? I could see his mouth moving. In my head, I was thinking this. Can you not see my eyes glaze over? You know, don't care. But he cared. Some of you may be as passionate about it. It's great if you are. That's wonderful. That's your thing. Mike and I were talking about it last night. Look over there. Say, Mike's grinning. He's grinning. Look at him. See? We were talking about this last night at dinner. But the challenge is that you and I, you know, we're thinking about this stuff not happening to us. But in fact, it happens to us all the time. It happened over here. It happened in that situation where, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, this is amazing stuff. I had just said to the Lord the week before I came here to speak, in the parking lot of my condominium, Lord, I really love how this car is set up. I love that it has this cup holder right here. Now, that may not be meaningful to you, but it is to me. I liked it right there. Not way down here, and I didn't have one of those big wide cups, you know, it was right there. Well, there was another one too, and it was over here and over there, so I could, if I wanted to, I could have two or three cups in there, right near where I was. You know, not that I need all that to drink, but, you know, it was there. And there were some other stuff that I liked, and I had just said to the Lord, I love the way this is set up, but I know, remember, I'm in the parking lot, But I know this car is not going to last much longer. It had almost 193,000 miles on it. Within 3 weeks of standing right here, the mechanic who had to look at my car says something like this: "Your car has died. It's going to cost $800 to $1,200 to fix it. So help me." Having had been in the business, some of you maybe have either been there or there now, I knew that if the dealership was being gracious to me, they might have given me $200 to make me feel good about it. But they were going to have to pay $50 to get it off of their lot for parts. So does God speak to people? Absolutely. Was it right on the money? Absolutely. There were more things that happened that day. I don't have time to tell you about them. I'm just saying to the Lord, "Lord, why would this message be appropriate for these people when this kind of word happens so authentically out of them?" And I got this prompting that some of you sitting here today think that those people have it, whatever it is, and that you don't. But yet God today, while you're sitting here, God today is going to say something to you, or you're going to see something that God will show you. He'll prompt you with a face, a word, a phrase. And if I might, Mike shared something with me last evening. I won't give you the details, but I'll tell you this. He said that God delivered him from a weight at a very difficult time with a phrase. Am I right? A phrase. God can deliver a burden from you, boom, just like that. Because He speaks this phrase. A word gives you a picture, a thought. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Philippi, verse 13... He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "Well, what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say?" Who do you say? Remember the question I asked you earlier is, does God have your attention? Who do you say? Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church." In one of the CDs that I was listening to, I remember hearing Lanny talking about this very thing. And I agree wholeheartedly with this. It embodies a lot. There's a lot to be said about that particular thing. But the one thing that God wants me to bring out to you today is that Peter was just a guy. He was a person. And Jesus acknowledged that this didn't come through something that he learned from someone else. It came because his Father had revealed it to him. That's how he came to know it, to have a grasp of some part of it. Well, God speaks. He's speaking to you. I want to close with this story. I told you about being at that dealership. I had been there about 2 years, 2.5 years. And there was my cubicle. Then there was another cubicle, and there were many others, but I was right at the end of the door, or at the door, end of the end of the wall. The cubicle around me had a woman by the name of Kim, and then her partner at her desk. Then there was me, my partner at my desk, and then others. There were about 12 of us. Two women on staff. Kim had a mouth that was filthy. Just filthy. She could curse better or worse, whatever your perspective is, than any of the rest of the guys on board there. So, now some of you were here last time. Remember the challenge I told you about that I had been walking through in my life. One day, after probably a year and a half or so, 2 years maybe, Kim gets up from her desk, unannounced, had no idea this was coming. She steps in front of my desk and she says, "You want to step into my office?" I knew what she meant. She didn't mean her cubicle. She has a cigarette in her hand. You can't smoke in the building, so she's going to go outside. So she meant step into the office outside on the sidewalk around the dealership. So I said, "Sure, okay." So I get up, go out. We stand right outside that big, huge glass window. And she says to me, "I got a question for you." Okay. Had no idea this was coming. She said, I have noticed that no matter what the manager does or whatever, you're going through," and she was going through some really tough stuff at home, teenage girls and so forth that were in trouble and some other things that were happening, "you never curse." I have no idea what prompted this. So I said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, how do you do that? Or not do it?" And I said, "Well, Kim, let me say it this way. I was in that breath where you're going, and this happened. It's like I'm standing here. Kim has now positioned herself. She's standing about like this. And the Lord seemed, this is kind of the way it felt, is he's standing just right to my right and just behind me. Now, he wasn't. He was, he lives within us, right? But this is how it felt, because it felt like he leaned over and he goes, like, oh, this is going to be good. He goes, "Ask her a question." And that seemed like a great idea, but what question? Have you ever been in that moment, where he says something and you're going, "Yeah, but," "Yeah, but's probably," I don't think that's in the creatures are probably saying that, "Yeah, but, Lord," but that's what I was doing. I was going, "Well, that's a great idea, but what question?" And before I could formulate the words to respond to him. Now, some of you, first thing you think of is, "Well, I need to pray." Would you call that prayer? I mean, in its true sense, it's prayer. But really what it is, it's just dialogue, right? I was just, "Okay, yeah, good idea, but what question?" And then here's the thought, bam, just like that. I said, "Well, Kim, let me ask you a question." I didn't say, "The Lord just said to me to ask, hallelujah. Let me go get my Bible." No, I didn't do that. I just said, "Let me ask you a question. When you go onto the lot and you meet a customer or a customer with kids and so forth, why don't you curse when you're there with them?" And this was like this pause. And she said, "Well," and then before she could respond, I said, "Other than company policy, I know it's company policy that, but there's a lot of other stuff that happens around here that we know is opposed to company policy. So it's not company policy that stops you. What is it?" She goes, "Well, I guess I just decide not to. I filter it. I just decide not to." And so then, while she is saying this, it's again like the Holy Spirit is going, "Okay, here's, say this." So then I said, "Well, before I was born again, I had a filthy mouth. So I know what it's like. But there came a point that I was reading the Bible one day, and I didn't go into quoting scripture and all that, but I just said it this way. I was reading the Bible one day, and I saw this thing in the Bible that said, don't let any filthy thing come out of your mouth." So I went, "Ugh." Now remember, I was born again. So that stuff was still coming it was coming to my thinking, and it was still coming out of my mouth. Have you ever had this experience where you have a thought, and then your mouth starts to move, and you're going, no, don't say it. It's already out. That's what was happening. It's like, you know, pushing send an email. You go, send. Oh, can I get it back? You know, no. Well, it's out there. I've already said it, you know. And so I said to her, I said, you know, I read this and I realized I needed to do the same thing you do. I needed to decide not to do it. But it was hard. It was hard to decide not to do it. You know. Now you can say, we need to be committed, praise the Lord. You know. Well, I was committed. I was still doing it. We have a commission, you know, and a mission, and, you know, it messes up your testimony with other people. I knew all that. I was still doing it. I didn't want to. Have you ever done that stuff? Don't shake your head. Rhetorical question. See, I know. I live in the same kind of skin you live in. It's older in some cases, but it's the same kind of skin. The challenge is that I didn't want to do it, but I was still doing it. And then one day, something happened. Yes, it was something in the Word that I saw in the Word, but it happened in my spirit. One day, now remember, I'm saying it to her. I'm not saying it to her like I am saying it to you right now, but I said to her then, one day, well, I kind of said it like this. Then one day, it got past my will. I also realized that when I did stuff like that it really grieved the person I had asked to come and live in my life. And she was stunned. She was absolutely quiet, but she became very uncomfortable. Now let me ask you something. Who got her up from that desk to ask me that question? Was she born again on the sidewalk that day? No. At least not that I'm aware of. But following days and days and weeks and months, do you know what? She would approach me right out in the showroom with other people around. Most of the time, not customers, but other staff people around. And she would ask me some other question like that. And I would try to encapsulate an answer quickly, give her the answer. Sometimes I would even say, well, we can talk about that later, and I would walk away. And one time I walked away, and a guy, one of the salespeople, followed me to the customer area and asked me a completely different question. But see, remember when we began, I said the Lord said that He wanted you to know this, that God was going to speak to you today. But not just for you, but so that when He speaks to you, you will understand something, that there are people all around you that stuff, just like was happening in Kim, that stuff is happening all the time to them too. They don't know what to do with it, just like you don't know what to do with it. But there's a difference. You have a connection. You recognize His kingship in your life. You know that He has a majesty, a perspective that's different than yours. And there's a connection between you and Him and you and them He wants to establish. So remember I said we were going to start with the top of the funnel where it was large and come down to you. Does He have your attention in those moments? Because Matthew 16 says this, the Father reveals something to Peter. Peter could say it back to Jesus only because he knew it from the Father. But the result of what he said back, Jesus' response to him was, And upon this, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Hell had, and may still have, as far as I know, Kim in its grips. What about people around you? God says, I'm going to give you keys that will unlock those doors. He did for me when he leaned over and said, ask her a question. Someone at the end of the service, last service, said that message was for him. And like I said in the beginning, of course it was. I want to close with this illustration. I want you to imagine that you're in a ballroom or a party, and there's a huge mirrored globe on the ceiling, and there's a spotlight shining on that globe. It's spinning, and the lights are flickering all around. You've been there before? Where those little lights are all over the place. That reflection is everywhere. But imagine it's spinning very slowly, and then it stops. Every one of us in this room has the voice of God glistening in our hearts. It's shining right on you. Right on you, Alberto. It's shining right on you. Because it's not just a reflection from somewhere else. It's the glory, the holiness, the love of God embodied in you. In Him that's shining on you. He's giving you this so that you not only will be affected yourself, but so that you can take it to someone else. In both services, the guys in the sound booth, Pat has been ready to play a song. And I know we're just a few minutes past maybe normal time. But could you indulge me for just a moment? It's a great song. I'm going to ask Pat if he'll cue that up and just play it. And at the end of that, we'll have prayer.
humble ourselves.
Speak, Lord, speak.
you that throughout this meeting, this message today, you have been speaking. You are speaking. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that even as that song is said, there have been people today that have come into this meeting that Lord, came in with a burden on their spirit. Something heaviness in their heart. Maybe even a physical need, Lord, that even while I've been speaking, you have been speaking. While that song has been playing, you have been ministering. But Lord, beyond the moment right now, you're not only speaking here, and as she was crying out, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Lord, I pray that this week you will speak, Lord, and we will give you our attention. So that not only can we receive, but we can carry your life to someone else who needs to know you and be liberated in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody together said amen.